Welcome back, everybody, to The Ranting Dead, a fan podcast devoted to AMC's The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and we are a mother and son Walking Dead talking duo.
Yeah, we are, and it's good to be back on the podcast. We haven't done a podcast in what seems like forever, like an actual just
no makeup podcast.
Yeah, no video, just audio. It feels like we've came home. Except for our home is broken, shattered, tattered, and destroyed at this point. This is like the weirdest, it's the weirdest time ever to me to podcast about The Walking Dead as big fans of the show.
Especially after the season premiere. Normally we're so excited to come on and do this podcast.
Yeah.
And I think we were both dragging our feet.
Yeah, I honestly kind of, I didn't dread coming onto the podcast, but I dreaded watching the episode again.
Yeah.
And I went back and did it. I didn't think that either one of us was going to do that.
I watched it too. I wasn't planning on it, but I thought, well, I need to experience it again.
I wish I wouldn't have. I was actually more pumped to do the podcast before I'd watched it again, because I was genuinely really excited to come on and just chit chat and bullshit with you about The Walking Dead. I got my bourbon here, and I was just like, I was super excited. But then I watched the episode again, and then I proceeded to make myself even worse by watching all these Glenn and Abraham tribute videos, and they just are breaking my heart.
Why did you do that?
Over and over again.
Why
I don't
did
know.
You do
I,
that?
I'm a glutton for punishment, apparently. I don't know why in the hell I did that.
I have a sore arm. I'm going to just keep poking that spot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to break my arm, but I want people to just keep breaking it over and over and again. But I mean, I guess technically you couldn't break it over and over again, could you?
Sure,
you could break it in different spots.
Different spots, or let it heal just a little bit like you just did, and then you re-broke it.
I did. I re-broke the damn thing. So, since you did watch it again, and what we're going to do on this episode of the podcast is we're going to get into all you guys' listener feedback and Facebook feedback and anything and everything that we've got. We've got comments on our YouTube videos. And just a FYI, if you're just now listening to the podcast with The Walking Dead returning and you're like, this is weird. Why are they saying Rantpocalypse talks The Walking Dead, even though this is the Ranting Dead podcast? That's because we do our immediate thoughts and first impressions, a review of the episode for video as well as audio, so that way we can put it up on our YouTube page, which is Rantpocalypse. So if you don't subscribe to our YouTube page, because we've literally put up, I think, three videos other than the audio thing that you heard after the episode aired. We talked about a whole lot of things as far as, you know, was the episode torture porn? We talked about what's going to come next with will Rick kill Negan? We'll probably get into a few of those things tonight on the podcast as well, but maybe not as in-depth as we did in those particular videos. So just wanted to let everybody know that's why it may sound a little bit different whenever we have our episodes immediately after the episode airs on Sunday nights.
That's because we're looking at each other, and it's obviously it's meant to be a video. So I realized after this second viewing how much I really kind of missed from the first time that I watched it, because we watched it together on the Google Hangout.
Yes, Google Hangout.
On our YouTube channel. But
and we tried to sync it up, by the way, because I'm watching it via Sling, which I have to. Sling made it through.
Yeah, they did. They did
good,
make it through.
Good on them. Mm-hmm. And you were watching it on regular cable, so it was a little bit funky to try and sync it up. So I know it wasn't the best experience for you, even though it wasn't the best experience with just viewing the episode, because it was horrible.
Right.
But so you caught a lot of stuff in the second viewing?
Well, I just realized I was so upset and tense and sick to my stomach, and I had my eyes closed for a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know how when you have a traumatic experience, you don't remember things?
Yeah, it's just, it kind of happens and then it's over with, and you don't realize that 46 minutes had gone by.
Right.
It just feels like it was just over with in a flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have this really great way of, if I can't fix it, I just forget about it. So
that's a good way to get over things.
So that was for me. There was, you know, just the amazing acting. Oh my God, Andrew Lincoln! Holy shit, dude! Knocked it out of the park. And I didn't want to. And Andrew Lincoln killed it, but he did neither of those things. He was just beautiful.
So insensitive. Knocked it out of the park. It's too soon for these bat jokes.
It wasn't even on purpose.
Baseball shouldn't even be allowed right now. It's bullshit that the World Series is going on. Nobody should have to look at a baseball bat. Baseball bat should be banned going forward.
Exactly.
Yeah, my old Negan bat that I got at San Diego Comic-Con, I just want to go burn it right now.
I know, me too, except that I'm thinking about dressing as Negan for Halloween. Because who is more in the news right now? And who would be more hated at Halloween? Nobody.
Nobody but Negan. That's very true. I've got some friends, and we've gone out on Halloween previously. Whenever I lived in Dallas, we all lived there together and everything, and we went out as Rick Grimes, Glenn, and Abraham before. No, excuse me, Daryl. The guy went as Daryl, and so they've been thinking about doing Abraham and Glenn again. This is a couple, by the way. This is a girl and a guy.
Yes, and they're so adorable together. She makes the best Glenn.
Yeah, she does. She makes a fantastic Glenn. Like, she puts on the ball cap from, you know, the early seasons. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's like the cutest Glenn ever. And he's a ginger.
Yeah.
So
it's perfect.
Yeah, and you know, he's gotten a little bit bigger over the last couple of years. So yeah, I definitely think, I don't know if he can pull off the stash, but and especially not in time if they haven't been planning this out. But yeah, you're right. It's Halloween time, so now is the perfect time. Oh, and what they were gonna do with their outfits, they weren't just gonna go as Glenn and Abraham, they were gonna go as Glenn and Abraham and attach bats to their heads.
Oh, like, see, that's wrong. That's wrong. What I would do is I would put a halo. Attach halos.
Halo?
Yes.
No, you say like, you know, please don't, in a sign like, please don't kill me or something as we're out right now. Yeah.
Yeah, God. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
very
that
sad
might too. That might be a good way for me to get my head bashed in if I go as, but I wasn't going to go as Negan. I was going to go as Sheegan. So
I like that, Sheegan. That's very cute. I like that one a lot. It sucks, too, because, by the way, by the time that everybody is listening to this, hopefully you will listen to this, it's going to be Walker Stalker Con is going to be going on.
Don't talk to me, Justin.
I know.
It's Atlanta moving from freak.
I know. It's really sad this time of year for me right now. It was right before The Walking Dead, and then obviously when The Walking Dead aired, and then now afterwards knowing that.
You're going to make this all about you. How is this all about you? You lived there.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen to me.
That I don't live there anymore now.
It does suck that you don't live there anymore. But if I would have been living there.
That's the only reason why I came to visit you is because you lived where.
Exactly.
Andy Lincoln.
I don't even like you. I used to try to spend as much time down at the set. No, I am. I really do hate that we're missing it because a lot of the people that we've met. Throughout the years are, you know, sending us messages and, hey, you know, where can we run into you guys? And it's like, we're not going to be there.
Yeah, you can run into us not there. you can send us pictures on Twitter. It's at Ranting Dead. That would be great if people tweeted at us with some of their pictures or videos and everything from Walker Stalker Con. Because it does really suck. This is I've been every year that it started, which has only been, I think this is their fourth year, I believe, maybe third. I can't remember, actually.
This is the fourth one.
This is the fourth year? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been every year. I went the first year when it was, to me, still the first year is the best one because it was so low-key. It's been, you know, four seasons ago, so the show wasn't quite as popular as it is today. It was still very popular then.
But there wasn't all those lines, right?
No. There was those lines were non-existent, and I mean, you just could walk up to anybody with there. I mean, there were lines, but you got to remember that first year. I think they only had like 10,000 people total for the weekend, so imagine that now where they're probably getting, I don't know, they're probably getting close to 80 or so thousand.
They have 10,000 people per hour waiting in Norman Reedus's line.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, his line.
It's insane. And he will wait until he sees every single person.
Yeah, I just wonder how it's going to go for him, though, this weekend.
Oh,
are people going to be upset with him?
You know, I think there are people that I've seen that are mad at Daryl.
Yes.
But how could you be mad at Norman Reedus?
Well, some lady bit him a few years ago.
Well, that's true. That was just last year that he got bit. Man, yeah. Well, imagine what's going to happen this year. But she was biting him out of love. She just wanted a nice big old chunk of some Daryl Dixon.
Yeah, she did. She wanted some Dixon. That's right. Yeah. That's for sure.
But I don't know. I would think that this is going to be a really, really tough weekend for him. So, and for all the cast.
Yeah, I think it'll be great for him, though. Like, they're going to have so much fun. I mean, it's going to be exhausting for them in the sense of every single fan that comes up to them is going to be so emotional and so distraught, especially Steven Yeun and Michael Cudlitz, for sure. Like, I mean, they're going to be drained by the end of the weekend. But I could only imagine that's got to be so much fun because, you know, other than The Talking Dead, they will probably have not seen each other a whole lot since I don't know when they actually filmed this episode. That's still a mystery to me because it seems like I read somewhere that they actually filmed a lot of this at the end of season 6 last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they filmed the entirety or what, but it seems like that they would have because I just felt like they talked about it somewhere. Okay. Let me just say this.
Tara.
Uh-huh.
She seemed very much like she was pregnant still in real life at that table.
Yeah, that's true. She definitely did.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out when her baby was born. But I know it was born before the beginning of this season. So
yeah. That's true. I can't remember when she had the baby as well. It just, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Somebody point us in the right direction because I felt like I read or saw somewhere that they had filmed the majority of this stuff at the end of the season 6 finale. And that's why it was even harder because, you know, Michael Cudlitz and them have to wait a full year before the fans will know and they'll get to actually see their work and everything. Because, you know, even though they didn't get a lot of screen time in this episode, the stuff that they had in it was obviously super impactful. And it was, talking about.
You can say impactful, but all my jokes are horrible.
No. I was going to say, and we pick up little things, the little Easter eggs that we didn't notice, I don't think, in the quick review that we did Sunday night.
Right.
The fact that, you know, of course, Abraham, he throws up the peace sign as he's about to get his head bashed in, you know, as the sign to Sasha that everything's okay, I'm going to be all right. That was definitely a cool little Easter egg.
You know who really just tore me up on the second viewing was Eugene. Dude was so emotional and so upset. And he looked awful, you know, because he had gotten a beat down.
Yeah.
But just all his tears, I was like, oh my gosh, he's killing me.
Yeah, no, he was definitely, he was very distraught. And, it, you know, the holding, you know, you can probably hear it now. I've got my hands over my face and everything. Not the best audio, but whenever he was just holding his head in his hands the entire time, it was definitely sad. So this was going to ask you. So how was your second viewing?
I'm not sure how to even answer that question. I mean,
how did you feel watching the second time?
I didn't break out crying in the second one.
Yeah, was the episode as good?
Oh, if not better.
Okay.
Because it was just because I got to see so much more. I was just looking at how brilliantly the way this story was interwoven was incredible. The the atmosphere that they created. And I realize now it wasn't, it was, I was thinking it was fog to begin with, but it was supposed to be smoke. And it just, it was just so, it was so good. So that's how I feel about it. How about you?
I do think that it was good for sure. It's, I kind of go back and forth on this episode of the hardest part about it is taking what went down at the end of season six out of the equation, but it's kind of hard to take that out of the equation. And, you know, when you look back at this episode and you're just like, well, all it was really finding out who died. You know, that was definitely a big portion of it. But the bigger thing, the bigger thing for sure was the breaking down of Rick Grimes. Mm-hmm. You know,
that was the whole goal.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people are upset about. I've seen reviewers say, you know, and we even talked about it in a couple of our videos, just the fact that people are like, I'm done. I'm out on The Walking Dead. They're not trying to tell a story anymore. All they're doing is just going from one big moment to the next, and now they're just like trying to outdo themselves as far as gore and shock value, you know, the whole shock and awe thing.
Okay, let me just ask you this real quick. Mm-hmm. Is that a horrible thing in your entertainment?
No, it's not a horrible thing in your entertainment, but whenever it becomes the only thing in your entertainment to me, then it's bad. I don't think that The Walking Dead has quite got to that level yet. I definitely think that, and we even talked about it in our podcast last year, that the show had gotten a little bit more into that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, how many, oh, shit, what happened? How many times did that happen last season? It was quite a bit. Right. It was a little bit more than the norm, and to me, a little bit more than I kind of like. I like our stories to have meaning and everything. I like for them to not rely upon things to be the 30-second teasers of, oh my God, I gotta tune in this next week's episode. I want that. Yeah. I'm not saying I don't want that.
No, and I like for them to be wrapped up as well.
Yes, I like for them to be wrapped up, and so. My second viewing, to me, it was weird, but I think it was how they wanted it to be. My second viewing was madness and anger, mm-hmm. whereas my first viewing was sadness and grief. I feel like in this episode, I was just like my blood was boiling the whole time. Where I was just like, man, I just want to fucking kill Negan. Fuck that mother, you know, like just.
Yeah, I did not find him at all charming at all.
No.
I just thought. You know, good God, I felt so bad. I was trying to watch the faces of his men
that
were with him. Because they've all been through that exact same kind of schooling.
Yeah, a lot of them have for sure.
So, or someone that they love. I mean, when you think about Dwight, I mean, he was so like a... robot, but a robot dog, you know. Do you want me to kill him? Do you want me to kill him?
Mm-hmm.
I would just think somebody that you've had your face burned by Negan.
Yeah.
I guess it's just fear.
Yeah. Well, in the comic books, that's what issue 100 and everything, when it was leading up to it, it was something to fear. And that was a lot of people were talking about why didn't they name issue 100 or not issue 100, the episode premiere, episode 7. Why wasn't it called Something to Fear as opposed to The Day Will Come When You Won't Be? Mm-hmm. But, you know, for the TV show, it was a nice callback to what I don't know if it was he a doctor, but
yeah.
Jenner,
uh-huh.
whatever Jenner. Yeah. Jenner told, you know, whenever he was having that conversation with Rick and Rick's like, I'm so grateful. And he said, you know, there's a day that will come when you won't be. And I know a lot of fans have been talking about that. I don't know how does it tie in, though, because Rick really wasn't grateful as much as he should have been for what he had in Alexandria. And I think that was the whole lesson to me that Rick Grimes was learning in this episode is just that, you know, there was the line, I wrote it down, you know, whenever Negan was talking to him, he said, must be hard for you, right? You're used to being king shit. You were in charge. Hell, you were probably addicted to it. And I thought that was such a perfect line to say to Rick whenever you look back at season 6 and season 5, even, you know, when you go back to the Ricktatorship and everything. You know, he's gone back and forth between those moments of where he doesn't listen to reason and it's his way or the highway and you just better get out of his way or you're going to get ran over like Bob did, you know, out before they went and tried to get Beth. So
that's why I have a hard time being too pissed off at Daryl, because if it wasn't Daryl that made that move to sock Negan,
that's
a Rick kind of move. And we always forgive Rick.
We do forgive Rick, but man, I'm still pissed at Daryl though. I'm like, that is my boy. It was even in the second viewing, there's that moment when you're like, oh,
maybe this time it won't happen.
Glenn's gonna make it. This is gonna be so awesome. And man, you know, especially whenever we're watching it for the second time, we know what's coming. You have that shot of Glenn in the background. Yeah, and it's just like
super innocent. Just,
yeah.
Okay. But why? It should have been Daryl.
Well, it's not going to be Daryl because cash money.
I know, but I'm just saying, if you're going to be pissed because somebody jumped up and I do get Negan's reasoning for keeping him because, you know, this dude has balls. I like that. You know,
yeah.
Everybody else, you're a bunch of pussies.
But the thing with Daryl, it wouldn't have done anything for the story had we killed Daryl. It would have just literally been to me for the shock of, holy shit, they just killed Daryl, The Walking Dead. They got big balls. They can kill anybody that they want at any time. And that's all that would have meant to me, because there's still so much to be explored with Daryl and Dwight. And that's what whenever I went back and watched season 6, that was the one thing that jumped out to me, was just how interesting their relationship could be down the line. And especially now that Negan has taken Daryl and he's going to bring him back to the Savior's compound and everything, the sanctuary, I think is what it's called. Then I think it's going to be some good stories that we get out of that. I hope out of Daryl and Dwight. So, mm-hmm. But that doesn't take away from I'm a little bit annoyed with you, Daryl, because if you wouldn't have been a douchebag and brought everybody out there to go after Dwight, then
that's my whole thing.
Yeah, my boy Glenn would have never been out there.
Well, Glenn didn't want to be out there in the first place. That was
exactly.
He just got done saying, you know, this is not going to end well. This is going to be bad. He wanted to go home to his pregnant wife, but because he's a good guy, he's going to help his friend out and be out there. So
Man.
The lesson is, don't be a good guy.
Yeah. Don't be a good guy. That's for damn sure. Glenn, he was one of the good guys. There was another thing too, when I was watching the episode and then I thought back on some things and I was actually a little bit pissed because something that the show did, I wrote it down somewhere in my little note cards that I got here. I've got a bunch of random ass note cards. I don't know where I put it, but I was actually kind of pissed at the fact that in the show, they took away from Glenn being this super wholesome, pure character. And I wish now, like going back, I wish they wouldn't have done that. Like, I don't know. Does it take away from you in the sense whenever they go to the Savior's little compound and everything, and Glenn has to kill those dudes in their sleep?
Right, right. No, I could see, because he's got dirty hands as well.
Yeah, and I don't really like that, because that was the thing about in the comics, it was just like he was.
Did he still wear the baseball cap in the comic?
Yeah.
See, that to me, when they took away his cap, it's like they took away so much of his innocence. I don't know why for me. His boyishness. And I realize, you know, once you start having the adult relations, you know, I guess, you know, his boyishness was gone. But yeah, I can see what you mean.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now in the comics just to see really quickly. Let me fiddle through it.
One thing I did see that ticked me off on my second viewing that I hadn't seen, and that was, you know, when after the Glenn kill scene.
Yeah.
And when we see next to where his head was, his face was right there. With his eyes were there. It was like,
oh really?
Yeah, it was like his head, the front part of his face had come off.
Yeah.
And was right there in the dirt. It was awful. It was awful.
That is awful. And he was indeed wearing his cap.
Yeah.
Whenever he got killed. I mean, it was like, you know, very, very fucking comic book accurate. Thank you.
Yeah.
for doing that to my emotional and psychological state. Yeah, it was rough. So I'm looking at it now. I'm just like, damn. But see, that then that's the thing. Like they added that line of like of Maggie, I'll find you, because he just said Maggie. He was just trying to, and you know, he's just trying to say that, and then it was just over with after that. So. Well, I mean that shot of his eyeball like kind of out on the ground, that is one of the shots, and that's when Negan says his joke of Lucille is a vampire bat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean it's unfortunately about to get darker on the show, and without Abraham around, it's just not going to be as colorful anymore. So that's the unfortunate thing, and to me it's also why I just don't understand why they did the two deaths. It was something I was pissed about whenever I heard the rumor, that I just was like, if you're gonna kill somebody in this moment and it needs to be an impactful character, as much as I love Glenn, it makes the most sense for Glenn to die. In my opinion, it would have been really cool to see Abraham live, I've talked about it a million times, and go into all-out war, and having somebody of Abe's badassery in the show still with Negan, and not only with Negan in the sense of like, you know, in the comic book Negan's such a badass, and in the comic book Abe's such a badass, and the show Abe's a badass. It would have just been fun to have those two interact. I mean, suck my nuts is your dying words. I mean, right. Imagine how much fun those two characters could have been playing off of one another in the TV show.
It
would have been great.
I was thinking about that as I was watching it the second time. I was thinking, dang, you know, these two dudes were so much alike.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I guess that's ultimately why, you know, they just, you can only have one of those, I guess. And
yeah.
So they had to take out Abraham. So do you want to get into some listener feedback? Because then we can, I'm sure they'll bring up all the stuff that we may have talked about anyway.
Sure.
Awesome. All right. So I'm going to go to the YouTubes first, and just a couple of quick ones. Monty Big Boar said the saddest line was, here goes my heart, or what? I don't even know what this says. Sorry. The saddest line was, here, my heart goes for the crew. I don't understand that.
Now I have to look at it.
Should have looked at these before I opened them. But you know, this is real life, people. coming home from the jobs and watching the episode again, and then eating food.
Exactly.
And,
we don't have time to research stuff.
Yeah, who has time for that? But no, sorry about that. I don't know what Monty was saying, but Monty has commented before, because we've liked his name, Big Boar. I do like the Monty Big Boar name. And then JCRICAN88. I don't know. JCricakan. Does that sound about right? JCricakan88. Wasn't the best episode, but was definitely the most brutal and emotional episode. Was shocked they showed us all that Negan was insane. Daryl can't believe he did that and got Glenn killed. Motherfucker. I'm pretty sure somebody emailed us as well, right?
Yeah, there was somebody on Facebook that said the same thing, that they were super pissed at Daryl, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, was that Elizabeth? It was Yaritza.
Yeah, see, I wasn't going to attempt that because I know I can't say her name correctly. Although I think she's well aware of that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you've listened to any of our podcasts, yeah, you know that we can't pronounce names mm-hmm. all that well.
Yeah.
She had a very long email that she sent to us. And she just said, "Here I am, 5 a.m., and I'm still thinking about The Walking Dead. This episode totally destroyed me, like you said in the title of the podcast. I knew what was happening because I like spoilers, and the Spoiling Dead fan page posting their page almost in June, who was not on set after the first episode, and they also posted a review of the first episode last week. I didn't know that they did that. But even when I knew about it, I wasn't ready. I started watching the show in season 3 and I love the series, but for the first time, I don't know if I'm going to continue loving the show. I know it's just a show and I don't read the comics, but I know about it, but it is so difficult to not feel sad and even worried about what's next. The show is not going to be the same for the next episode or the next season. It will never be the same. I do not know how Rick is going to continue in this journey. I also am worried about Daryl, because I don't think he will forgive himself because he caused Glenn's death." So I want to touch on that before we go to the rest of the email, because I think she's got a good question and everything. Mm-hmm. So what do you think Daryl's going to do?
Okay. And this is something that I later discuss with her about the whole Daryl thing. And that's, remember how he assimilated into Joe's group? Even though he didn't like it, he still was, he hung with the Claimers. He learned the Claimers' ways. He slept in beds on the concrete next to them.
Yep.
So I think Daryl is going to be Daryl and blend in.
I don't know about this one.
I don't know that, I'm not saying that he wants to be there, but he's heard the threats.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you in the sense that I think Daryl is a chameleon when it comes to that, and he can blend in with any group that he needs to blend in with. I mean, and especially since season 1 where he didn't really blend in, and then I don't know, he just suddenly the span of a season he just completely assimilated into the group, and Shane was the crazy one. Which was fun because Shane played crazy fantastically, mm-hmm. and I miss him all the time.
Me too.
You know, having somebody like Shane on the show would be so great right now because, you know, again, losing somebody like Abraham and Glenn is just really hard. And she's right. The show's never going to be the same to me. In the comic, to be totally honest with you, yes, the stuff that happens, you know, after issue 100 is crazy. It's, you know, it's a lot of bang bang explosions and a lot of crazy, you know, just crazy insane stuff happens. But I don't feel like the comic really got good again until just recently. And I think that's because it took like 50 issues for me to move on past the fact that when I turn the page, Glenn's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's not showing up in the panels anymore.
Well, you can't. At the heart of this show, we always tell this to people. No, you don't understand. This show is not what you think it is. This is the story about, you know, a group of people that are have become family and how they survive in this kind of world. But it has heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just took that away. I mean, Glenn seriously was the heart of the show.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I can't even think of another character on the show. There's nobody that remotely comes close at this point. There, and that's the thing where I think the show's going to hurt the most is, yes, we had Glenn as the heart of the show, but we also had other characters around Glenn for quite a while there they were also the heart. Now, we haven't had anybody, in my opinion, since Herschel.
Right.
And that was the last time we had somebody that kind of could center the group like Glenn could. And now we have nobody, you know. That was it. And even though Tyrese annoyed me sometimes on the show, he was one of the only other people that kind of was that way. I'm hoping that maybe somebody like Aaron can come in and have a little bit more screen time on the mm-hmm. show, because I think that he can be that Glenn archetype character. You know, certainly I love Jesus, and I think that obviously with the loss of Abraham and Glenn, you know, I know it's a loss as far as the characters, but it is a loss when you really look at just the show in general. And when I was looking at the cast, and I'm just like,
I know
that is a glaring hole now.
Why would you do that to your cast? You have this amazing cast of characters. Let's kill off two of them. Two people that don't want to leave the show. As far as I know, they didn't want to be written off.
I don't know. I think, again, I don't know if we talked about this in a video or if we just talked about this, I don't know, off air. But the fact that it is such a monumental death and 17 point how many million people watched it, and it's going to go down as one of those craziest moments in TV. You know, 20 years from now, whatever, it's going to be like, these are the top 10 craziest episodes of television, and it'll be on there.
Right, but you're also not making that $1 million an episode that you were making while you were on the show. And I know they don't make that kind of money.
No.
For this show, but
maybe Andrew Lincoln.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't think
he's very private, and you don't hear about how much he makes, and I don't even want to know. But
no.
I don't know. I do know that. You know, Steven Yeun did say that if the death was going to be given to anybody, he wanted it to go to him.
Yeah.
So I understand that. Like you said, in the history of television, this is pretty badass. But on a day-to-day job that I absolutely love, when I need to have a job, that's a job I'd want to go to.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I completely agree. I wanted to go back to one of your things, and I said it as well, like the top 10 craziest moments in TV history. The bad thing is, I don't know if this will go up there. I hope that it would, and I hope that Andrew Lincoln gets nominated for an Emmy, because I feel like he needs to. I think it's kind of a travesty that he hasn't been nominated for one, and maybe not to win. You know, I would love to see him win, but to at least get recognition. You know, the fact that he carries a show that routinely gets 14, 15 million viewers a week and is just awesome. Like, he does such a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, I honestly think had they gone back and did this episode last season, and this was actually the way it went down, that they killed two people, as much as I hate it, mainly, you know, it's not that I hated their decision making. That's fine. If that's the story they want to tell, then we just got to see how it plays out. I can't just nitpick it to death right now. But just imagine the impact of that last season, and that's how it ends. Like, that would, to me, would have gone down as one of the craziest episodes, if not the craziest episode, you know, most brutal, insane of all time. Now, I get why they, you know, why they maybe thought that this is the better way to play it out, is because they had all that buildup from beginning to end of the season 6 finale, but you start out with Rick Grimes being super cocky and confident, and then by the end of the episode, he's like, "Oh shit, I just stepped in like the biggest pile of dog shit ever, and I can't wipe it off at this point." And then in this episode, it's now I'm gonna have to eat the dog shit for 46 minutes, and I understand, you know, in a way where they're. Why they may have wanted to choose to go this way. But in my opinion, as far as long term and longevity as an episode, I feel like if they would have done this at the end of last season, it would have just blown. I mean, I already know it did. I'm not saying that it didn't blow people's minds, but I feel like it would have just gone down in TV history as like one of the craziest things, because it would have been like a snap, split second, boom, two characters of ours are dead. fade to black. Holy fuck, what did we just see? And then we have to decompress for 7 months.
Yeah, no, I get your point. I see both sides to that, because I could see their side, that they want us to talk about it for the entirety of the off season, and we did. And we made videos about it. Us and 8 million other YouTubers. And yeah. You know, I mean, it was
one YouTuber, literally, that's the only every video it was Negan kill Cam 2, Negan, yeah. Negan kill 3, which, Negan and, kill 20 billion.
I think a lot of them were recycled with different names, but still.
Hey, he has a lot of views.
He made some good money off of this past season.
Hopefully he did.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to make money off of YouTube at all. Maybe 10 cents. But he gets a lot more views than we do. So maybe hopefully,
we broke 10 cents, I think.
Maybe we might have broke 10 cents yet. Yeah. Okay. Back to her original thing about, you know, Daryl not forgiving himself and blaming himself. She says, that she has a comment or question. She says, I think Daryl will die this season, and that the producers are trying to make the fans feel angry and mad with him. And she said, what do you guys think about this? I do think that Daryl may die in this season, and I think it may come at the hands of himself. What do you think of that?
I think that's highly possible.
Yes.
I do feel like they wanted us to be pissed off at him, and it doesn't take much, apparently, for us to all jump ship. Even though we've been on the huge Daryl Dixon bandwagon, now we're like, ah, fuck Daryl. But I'm sorry, hashtag fuck Daryl. That was, sorry, I got to get it right. But I could see that this would not be, it's a world that's going to be really hard for Rick Grimes to live in. But we've seen Rick's personality go up and down and up and down. So we know he can have those really big highs and those super, super lows. So we know he can do it. But Daryl, we've never seen Daryl be able to just really super submit.
Not submit. We've seen him super low after Beth's death and everything. He was really low, but it wasn't a submissive low.
Yeah, no, he was sad. But as far as, you know, I mean, he's related to Merle. They don't take a lot of shit.
No. I do worry about Daryl. And I don't want to go. It is tough whenever you've read the comic books and, you know, you look at certain storylines and how they play out in the comic books and you think, oh, how are they going to adapt this storyline?
Which, again, for anybody listening, Daryl is not in the comic book, so.
No, yeah. No, he's not in the comic books, but there's certain things that transpire after certain characters' deaths that just recently occurred in the comic books, and I don't feel them playing out necessarily the way they did in the comic books. I am speaking like way in codes that nobody is going to understand, and I really want to talk about it.
Want it to be talked about.
Well, but it's
too spoilerish.
Okay, it does involve Daryl though. So.
Just shut your damn whore mouth. I mean,
shut your whore mouth and drink your booze. All right, so let's go to somebody else and thank you. I know we butchered your name, but we're gonna go with Yuritsa. Thank you for the feedback. It was great, and we are glad that you watched our YouTube video, as wonky and weird as it was, you know.
I was so happy to learn that we were able to help her out with our having a joint pain together, the tears cried together. So
yes, indeed, it was fun that we got to do that together, because we don't get to watch The Walking Dead really ever together. So it was nice,
except at Walker Stalker Con.
Except at Walker Star. Just to dig the knife in a little bit more. I get it. You want to get me murdered because it's my girlfriend's birthday weekend and Halloween. Yeah. I even, you know, I brought this up to her. I said, hey, babe, do you want to go to Atlanta this weekend? And I got a, oh, you can go.
Oh.
You can go.
Dang.
Yeah. And then it was, I said, oh, yeah, I don't want to come back to my stuff burned down or anything. And she just said, oh, it won't be burned. It'll just be out on the street.
Well, why wouldn't she want to go?
Because Halloween is a big deal. My girlfriend loves Halloween.
She does love Halloween. She likes dressing up. So,
and she loves her birthday.
Oh,
and
okay.
Think about it. Think about it, you know, from a girl's perspective.
I don't know how to think like a girl.
I know you don't. I'm glad you are a girl, because you did have me, and that would be an awkward. You would have been like some one of a kind science experiment if you were a dude and you birthed me. But for the most part, girls like to have their birthday to themselves, right?
They don't want anybody to know about my birthday.
Well, I don't either, but she's still young.
Yeah,
she ain't old like us.
That's true. When she becomes an old ass fuck like we are, she'll be not wanting to talk about it. Let's not have my birthday this weekend.
Yeah, she's not old and dusty like we are. So, she's young and spry still.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I get it, but I do wish. I wish we were all in Atlanta. I would have been pissed off at you. So just FYI. So that you would have had two of your women pissed at you.
Pissed at me. Mm-hmm. That's very true. All right. So let's go back to some more feedback and then wrap up the podcast. So that way you can go to sleepy times.
Thank you for getting my text message that I
sent did.
You.
I did. Yeah, I got you. I got your damn text message.
Well, I mean, we're so good at this. We've read one person's message.
This is why nobody sends us feedback.
No, they're like, shit, if I don't send it first, they won't ever get to it.
Yeah, exactly. You get to one person's feedback in an episode and you just sit there and bullshit the rest of the time.
Yes.
I don't even know how people listen to us.
When I
really think about it, I'm like, I just wonder if people subscribe to our, because we don't, you know, just an inside scoop for you guys that maybe have made it this far. We don't get a lot of feedback. But I feel like we have a pretty decent amount of what comes across on our back end of our website. It says how many people downloaded. So I'm guessing that we just have a lot of downloaders that don't listen.
We have said that a bazillion times.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's okay. Just download it. That's fine. Actually, it's the interaction that is our favorite thing. And we appreciate everybody that does interact with us. You cannot believe how giddy we get. Oh my god, somebody listened to the podcast and they commented.
Yeah, you know. And they didn't say like go to hell and die.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you know, or just get to the damn show.
Oh god, we've tried to get better with that, because we used to spend like the first 14 or 15 minutes before the Walking Dead podcast, we'd talk about everything else.
We don't do that anymore.
See, we grow.
We grew mm-hmm. people. All right, so Andrew said, yes, this episode, because I'd put out something, you know, basically like, hey, put all your comments here, and then I commented myself, and I said, I'm seeing reviews and people online that are saying this episode was crap. Anyone else feel this way? And then Andrew said, yes, really disappointing. Only good part was the ending scene. And I just said, you know, kind of like, can you elaborate, I guess? And Andrew said, one death got overshadowed by the other. They built up the episode as if it was going to be be-all, end-all. It was a good episode, just not great. I agree with him on the sense that it does seem like Abraham's death kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
It does, and it seems so unfair. And if I was Michael Cutlitz, I'd be a little pissed. Because it was like, okay, here's Abe. He died. Oh, thank God it was Abe and it wasn't Glenn. Oh, my God, I'm so excited it was not Glenn. Oh, shit, they killed Glenn. Oh, shit, they killed Glenn. And everybody's, you know, crying around Glenn's body going, he was our family. He was our family. Oh, shit. Somebody go over there and help carry that ginger away. It was like that. So
he had Sasha and Rosita still, but you are right in the sense that it just kind of, and yes, Glenn's death is more impactful as far as the viewers, because
family.
Yeah, he's been there since freaking episode one, and you know we've literally seen Glenn grow up. Like you go back and look at the season one, he looks like a little kid.
Yeah. He had no facial hair. He couldn't grow facial hair.
No, I mean, you see that suave facial hair he's been growing lately on Talking Dead? I was like, man, look at Glenn. He's trying to get them women's, even though he's married now, which I did not know that he was married.
I didn't either. I was really sad for Lauren Cohen.
Oh, man. She looks so hot.
Oh, she was so beautiful. She's just so beautiful. And you know, and I think I said this after the one of the videos or something that we did, because they don't get to be made up at all during this show. One of the few shows that you don't have somebody that comes in and does your makeup so that you always look better on the TV show than you do in real life.
Yeah.
So when they get the opportunity to actually be clean and dress up and look gorgeous, you know, it's like your eyes burn. They're just so beautiful. And she is. She's so beautiful.
Yeah, she is drop dead gorgeous. And I think Rosita is as well.
Oh, yeah. And they all are. They're all
well,
just
Sasha
so pretty.
Is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Melissa McBride is incredible looking. In the journey so far, she had this super cute top on and her eyes are so blue and she had this choker on. I'm like, oh my God, girl. So, yeah, I'm such a great.
Yeah, she is very, very pretty as well. And all the dudes, they all got decked out. I love that Michael Cudlitz was smoking a cigar and drinking out of a flask.
I know.
He is freaking Abe. Like, I'm very excited to see what he does next. And I know Steven Yeun, he's been working on something, and he was working on a movie in South Korea, I believe. And that was also another reason why people were like, he's been around for a little bit.
Yeah, that's
so,
kind of a commute.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, from South Korea to Georgia.
South Georgia.
Yeah, to Atlanta. Well, not even Atlanta.
Sonoy.
Yeah, but Andrew, you are right in the sense that, yes, I agree with you that it did feel a little bit overshadowed, and that does really stink because Abraham is, he's such an iconic character, and you don't want anybody to die, but you want them to feel like they had a proper send-off, and it definitely felt like his got lost in the shuffle. I mean, you look back to Tyrese's death, and he got a beautiful death, a beautiful episode. To me, that's still one of my favorite episodes of all time, even with the character that I had problems with on the TV show of how they wrote his character. I thought they did a poor job, but still one of the most emotional episodes. Every time, whenever they stop the car and they get out and they have to take his body out and put it on the road, I get choked up every single time that I watch that. I don't know if I'll watch this episode many more times, to be totally honest, and I may just start skipping episode 16 of season 6 and this one when I do like any rewatch, like, you know, binge rewatches. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of tough, and it's like, I don't know. It was when you count last season, it was literally an hour of just horribleness.
Yeah, and I do see where people have the argument of I'm our good friend Robin, who's been a longtime listener of ours and is a huge Walking Dead fan. I'm not sure if she'll continue on. She said she doesn't understand why she would want to do this to herself.
I can't blame anybody for saying that at all. When I've seen deaths on Game of Thrones, it's been really tough for me sometimes. But then I realize, I feel like they've done a better job on Game of Thrones of establishing other characters to make us really like them. I'm just saying, like, it's getting tough on that show as well.
It is, like, but
it's gotten a lot harder.
I just, you know, when they killed Ned Stark.
You got cut deep in the first season.
Yes, just immediately. I'm like, I guess I was just not used to watching shows where they killed people, main characters. And I was like, you got to be shitting me. They just killed him. This story's all about him. At that point, it was.
Yes.
And then, of course, the Red Wedding. And, you know, with a little distance on this, and I don't know if this is going to be a horrible thing to say. Because this episode was so horrible,
Yeah.
It's something I just want to forget this episode. I just want to forget it.
No, I kind of agree with you. It's not, again, I can go back and watch The Red Wedding.
I can too. And I thought about The Red Wedding for a great deal of time afterwards because it affected me a lot. And it affected me in a different way.
Yes.
This, again, I mean, I know it was in the comic book that Glenn had to go. I know that. Yeah. But I don't understand still. I don't know why they did two. That's my big beef, why they would do two.
Well, a lot of people are giving Matt Fowler a lot of shit right now. He writes the reviews for IGN. And I don't agree with his score per se, because he gave this episode 7 premiere or season 7 premiere, he gave it a 6 out of 10. So not really good. That's a shitty score. I mean, I see really shit shows on IGN get like 8.5s or even higher. The Strain episode 9 got a 9 out of 10 on IGN. I haven't watched the episode yet, but I'm fairly certain that it's not worthy of a 9 out of 10. But he said something to me that really stood out, and I don't know, hopefully I'm not letting his words affect me, but after you just said that, maybe that is the how I feel as well. He just said, I'm gonna paraphrase it a little bit. He says, you want to leave an episode feeling shaken and riveted, not numb and in need of a shower. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like at the end of the, you know, the Red Wedding, you feel shaken, but yeah, you're right. You feel, I don't know if I felt riveted, but I definitely, there was emotion stirring in me that made me want to, like, and I guess in some respect, I feel that way with The Walking Dead, where I wanted to feel revenge. Like I wanted the Starks to just obliterate everybody at the Red Wedding. You know, I wanted right. them to kill them, which was, you know, fitting that we did get what's his name's death in the past season.
Arya killed him. Walter Frey.
Yeah, I was like David Bradley.
Yes, I know. Yeah, the guy from The Strain.
yeah, exactly.
Abe from The Strain. But I will say when they killed Robb Stark, I thought I was gonna die. Because I had a pretty damn big crush on the boy.
Well, that's how I felt when they killed his wife.
Yeah, yeah. You don't even know what her name was. like his wife, Robb Stark's wife.
I can't remember her name right now. What was her name?
I don't remember either. She was a cool character, though.
I used to know her real name. It was like Lena...
We have to put new information in. That's been a few seasons ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been a while. Robb Stark wife. Let's.
Red Wedding.
Oh, Talisa. Yeah, I would have never got Una. That was her name. Una Chaplin. I always loved her name. I'm like, oh man, what a cool ass name. Is Una Chaplin related to Charlie Chaplin? Yes, she is.
Is she really?
Yeah, Una Castilla or Castilla. Chaplin.
How do you spell Una? Is
O-O-N-A. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. This my best guess. She's a Spanish actress. She's the daughter of Geraldine Chaplin, granddaughter of English film star Charlie Chaplin.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about Hollywood, because they just recycle.
Yes, they
just
do.
Recycle. You know, it may be a long way down the line.
But yeah. I mean, they're all dynasties.
Yeah.
You can't break in.
Yeah, you can't break in. Okay. Well, I want to end on a good note for the podcast. And, you know, if you're still here, kudos to you. You rock. So I want to talk about Abraham and Glenn. And I want to talk about good things with them. And what were your favorite moments with Abraham and Glenn in the time that they were on the show? And it doesn't have to be like something, you don't have to give me a specific time and like this is a line that he said or anything, because I certainly don't remember all of them either.
Well, and I think I misunderstood the assignment.
Oh, man. How are you going to do that?
Because I thought you said an Abraham and Glenn moment together.
Oh, that no, was, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. That's totally fine. That was one of my, you know, because I wrote a few random moments that I could remember down off the top of my head. Yeah.
For me, what I loved about the two of them is the fact that, again, you know, you had hope and levity with the combination of the two, which is much needed in our Walking Dead world. And the whole conversation that Abraham had with Glenn about, you know, when you poured the biscuits, were you planning on making the pancake or, you know, when
you pour those biscuits and you make pancakes? What kind of biscuits are you making?
The Bisquick. I'm sorry. The Bisquick.
That booze gets you.
You're the boozer.
Oh, you're not boozing tonight?
Okay.
So am I boozing by myself?
No, I put a little in my tea, but I put it in a teacup so it didn't look like booze.
It's fancy drinking.
Yeah, exactly. And the cool thing about that whole thing was is it brought this whole food drive thing together for Michael Cutlets so that every time he goes to a Walker Stalker Con, people bring him food. So I think that is really cool. But I just thought when you talk about the two of them and the two of them together and what they mean to me.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I went.
No, I think that's perfect. And to what I had written down is that I love the fact that Glenn and Abe, they were tied together from beginning to end. And it's really very sad to think about that these two characters, they didn't necessarily both come in together, but Abe came in with Glenn and he left with Glenn. It still makes me really sad to think about that. And you're right, the humor that they bring, or well, that Abraham brought to the show, it's going to be missed. Glenn, his was like, he had like the funny lines that were not meant to be funny, but they just cracked you up and everything. So I'm going to miss both of them. It really sucks. Some of my favorite moments with Abe and Glenn were whenever they were having the conversation. They were out on the road and everything, and they had to make a little pit stop. I think it was at a library, or it was just at a place that had books. You know, and that's when we got the famous meme with Eugene creeping and checking out Abe going to town on Rosita.
Yeah.
And they're having that conversation by the window, I think, or by the door. And I can't remember what exactly it was they were talking about, but Abe.
I remember being super awkward.
Yeah, and he's like, I really need some ass first.
Yeah, God.
And it was just perfect. Like everything about the introduction to Abe and Glenn, they work so well together. And to think that, you know, they had their little fist fight whenever they had first met, and Glenn was trying to leave and because, you know, he had to get back to the group and everything. Mm-hmm. It was just great. And it I don't know if they did that on purpose with the writing, in the sense that they brought them in and they left and everything together. I don't know. I really liked that moment. I loved Abe whenever he used the fire hydrant to kill the walkers.
Yeah,
I thought that was fantastic.
I just watched that the other day and I thought, man, that was just brilliant. And when you see the compilations of him killing walkers, and he always has a smile on his face while he's doing it, that's pretty good too.
Yeah, Brad Holt, he said, there's a vast ocean of shit out there that you people don't know shit about. Rick Grimes knows every fine grain of said shit and then some. Sergeant Abraham Ford. That was awesome. That was the season 5 finale whenever they were having their little powwow and old Reg, he got his throat slit. I think it's really tough to not say that my favorite Glenn moment wasn't the introduction of Glenn. That was just perfect, and to me that's why it was so devastating to see Glenn die in the comic books. And now again I'm like, gosh, you guys really suck to have to see Glenn die again in the exact same damn way.
Have we learned nothing with history?
I guess not. We're doomed to repeat it, apparently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know they said they want to be faithful to the comic book, but you ain't got to be that damn faithful all the time. Nope. Like, you know, it would have been interesting to see different parts of the story that we've never seen before, both of these characters. But yeah, whenever he first meets Rick and he, you know, he saves him from the tank and everything, that was obviously great, where he's like, hey, you dumbass in the tank. But he says, nice moves, Clint Eastwood. You the new sheriff in town. And I just love that. Mm-hmm. I love them so much. And let's see. Andrew said, the moment that I love for Glenn is when he would stop at nothing to get to Maggie. So, with the help of his second favorite character, actually, Tara. That's something I did not know about Andrew.
That's very there's cool.
There's not a lot of people that they're, you know, that Tara is one of their favorite characters, which is really cool. She had a great introduction with Abraham as well. And we used to say that all the time end our podcast.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day. And then, you know, I got so politically correct and never wanted to say cuss words.
I know. So funny. You're like, oh, but people listen to our show. And because I think it was it Elizabeth that wrote us?
Yes. No, I cuss still. I say the F word all the time. And then I just try not to say it as often. But it was Elizabeth that she said she's listening. She like teaches. She's a teacher.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She was listening and the kids walked in and I said something really F-bomb-ish.
Yeah, you did. I can't remember what it was you said, but it was really funny because I think you even called her what's her fucking name or something like that. Or I did. I don't know. But the good thing is, you know, because she has her own podcast as well about the Walking Dead. It's Brains Gone Bad.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay. I forget because I see it in my Twitter feed all the time. So you can go check that out as well. I think they just had an interview with James Woods Robinson. So.
Nice.
Yeah, which is very cool. But yeah, she works on movie sets, I think. And I think at the time she was working on a movie set.
Yeah,
and so she's working with actor kids. So, yeah. You know,
so they're
maybe
used to that.
Yeah, they're used to that. I mean, especially, you know, if they've been working on The Walking Dead, they get to hear Abe say mother dick and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So Brad also had. Oh, what were you going
to
say?
I'm sorry. I just have to ask you this one question. And I can write it down and save it if you want to go with save one more thing that Brad said there.
Well, is it any, it's not about Abe and Glenn? Or is it a question about them?
No.
It is.
It's about their deaths.
Okay. Well, here, let's get the, okay. Actually, you say that and then I'll get the good stuff on.
Okay. My whole thing, when you say, you know, the mother dick and all that, and you know, we're able to say those kind of things, but we still can't say fuck on The Walking Dead. But we saw two of our friends get their heads bashed in. Why is that?
I have no clue. I don't know why people let words hurt them. Words are just words. You're the one that puts the connotations behind them.
Exactly. And you know, I'd say 3/4 of the time, fucking is a good thing. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would much rather have seen fucking than the fuck that we got.
Yes, exactly. So
in this episode, yeah, I don't understand that at all. I mean, it was very violent, very very violent, like so violent that I didn't think they had those balls down there, but apparently they do. Mm-hmm. And it was certainly rough. And I know that a lot of people have talked about the violence. We talked about it in the video, but we really didn't go really, really deep into the whole violence thing. But, you know, we have seen very violent deaths on the show. Noah's death was very violent.
Yeah.
I still think Bob's death was very violent. Not Bob that was with Sasha, but Bob, the one that got ran over by the car. Yes, there wasn't a lot of it wasn't a lot of blood and guts, but it was just like
it was horrible. That was horrible.
Yeah, it was really, really rough. And, you know, Nicholas, Aiden. Aiden, well, Nicholas did too as well. I mean, he had a pretty rough death of
Aiden's
shooting himself in the head.
Horrible.
Yeah, Aiden's was super gory. Yeah. Dale's mm-hmm. was super rough. Yeah, we've had a lot of really rough deaths, but I think it was just in context of everything else that was going on around the death, and that's what made it even more brutal to me. And the fact that it was dragged out. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. I mean, maybe it wasn't dragged out in, as much in this episode because we talked about it. You got to build that tension back up because otherwise it's just like, why did you make us wait? You could have just had a 10-minute longer episode or something like
right,
that and
right.
for the season finale. But it was when you look at it in a whole of like a season 6 finale and a season 7 premiere, the deaths were dragged out. Like there's no way you can say that they weren't. There's no way to say to me, in my opinion, that they weren't for ratings. I get that at the end of the day, whenever we go back and we can binge them straight through and everything, it won't be as big of a deal. But when you got to wait 7 months just
yeah.
to find, just to be brutalized and feel like shit, mm-hmm. it's kind of weird. Very, very weird. But I'm with you. I think they should open up the floodgates to the fucking
yeah,
on the
I think
show.
So too.
So. And they said a lot of other things in this episode that I'm like, what? They can't say one F-bomb? Like, really?
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Negan said a lot of stuff in this episode.
He said shit and, you know, I mean, they say dick, they nuts, you know, I mean, come mm-hmm. on. So. Anyway.
Yeah. Lots and lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. So Brad had two more. One that I really, well, I like both of them, but I'll go with this one first. The scene whenever... I believe it was in season one. I can't really remember. And whenever they are separating the dead, the human dead from the walker dead and burning the bodies.
Right.
I can't remember what episode was that or what season was that. But, you know, and Glenn tells them, we don't burn them. We bury them. Understand? Because there's Glenn in a nutshell right mm-hmm. there. Like, he's just this super awesome human being. And he... still wanted to treat the dead with respect, even though, you know, the dead don't know any better.
Right.
And he wanted to, you know, to bury them, to bury their bodies, which mm-hmm. I thought was really cool. I mean, to me, one of my other favorite moments with Glenn, I'll be quick, was just the whole thing with Nicholas. I mean, that's the type of person that Glenn was. And that's why I still get a little bit pissed off when they made Glenn kill those dudes in their sleep.
Yeah.
Because they just told the story of Glenn, you know, redeeming this person that didn't deserve to be redeemed. But that was just the person that he was. And that's what Maggie said, you know, that's just how Glenn is. He, you know, he helps people that really don't deserve to be helped. So, and then the last one, from Brad, he said, no man is ever good enough for your little girl until one is. You're like my own son, Glenn. You have my blessing. Mm. Herschel Green.
Mm.
Yeah. That one gets me as well. Super, super sad stuff. I'm not going to get over this anytime soon, but it was good to talk and have some fun talking about stuff as well.
Right.
You know, because it's been like a couple of days of just feeling like poop about even like real life. Was Monday going to work? Well, even the last 3 days, it was rough to me. Was it to you? Like, it was still on my mind every day.
Yesterday was a horrible day for me, and yeah. I was in a crap mood, and I couldn't figure out, you know, I just was unhappy, and I should have known. I mean, we did, you know, we've been talking about this for days.
Yeah.
And I've been mean to people, and I'm not normally mean to people at work, and I've been actually mean to people all this week. So
wow,
maybe that's why.
We'll just go with that.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I've definitely been in a little bit of a funk. I can definitely tell at work because all I really want to do is talk to other people that watch The Walking Dead. And unfortunately, I just don't think that the people I work with do that or they don't talk about it at work.
Right.
I don't know.
Let me just say this to you.
Yeah?
This, that you bring this up. I have quite a few people that I work with that watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And that we normally talk about it. And I talk the shit out of it.
Yeah.
I haven't brought the conversation up with people. They come up to me and they go, oh my God, I can't believe what they did. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And that's it. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Which seems odd because I've been talking a lot about it. You
know. No, it doesn't seem odd, but we're in each other's little bubble.
Yeah.
You know, that we talk about the show together on this podcast and we work through our our feelings and our thoughts about certain things that happen in the episode. And I'm the same way. And that's, you know, again, goes back to the whole feedback and everything, even though we don't get through all of it, which, you know, I hate sometimes. Speaking of, real quick, one more thing. I want to get one
real
more out
quick,
there.
Real quick.
Dan from YouTube, he said, the scene that got me crying was the dinner scene. Them all together eating, that's when I cried.
Yeah,
and he
me
said,
too.
Just heard you guys agree to. And he put a thumbs up, a sad face, and a heart to us.
Yeah,
so,
it was that dinner scene. That was it.
Yeah, that one was very rough. Mm-hmm. And we do love that you guys sent us your feedback. And if you want us to just literally go through the feedback whenever we do our therapy podcast, and maybe that's the best way to do it instead of us bullshitting for
30 minutes. I don't
know why
you even say that. Why do you say that?
Well, because maybe people like that.
It doesn't matter, because we won't do it anyway. If we open up our mics, you and I are going to bullshit. So that's why we do a podcast, because we enjoy bullshitting with each other.
We do enjoy. That's very true. I don't know why we ever think of any other names other than the bullshit podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, knee deep in the bullshit. So I
said the bullshit. Yep, we're in that bullshit.
Okay, apparently,
it's so much bullshit. It's an entire ship of bullshit. All right.
Yeah. Well, I was just gonna say, hope you enjoyed the show, assholes.
That's a perfect way to end it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We hope you have a fantastic week.
Share with